The Magic Island is now divided into two enemy camps. G-47 and his powerful group of scientists on one side, and Mrs. Gregory's two boat crews on the other. Johnson's rescue boat is now lashed to the yacht, and the two ride easily in the surface lock between piers 4 and 5 on the Isle of Euclidea. The scene is the radio cabin of the yacht, the cabin that is protected from the eyes and ears of the Euclideans by the seaweed cloth. Captain Bradford and Mrs. Gregory are explaining to Jerry and Joan some of the things that happened on the yacht while the young people were in the submarine.
But, Mother, Jerry is overly enthusiastic about the attitude of the submarine commander.
No, I'm not, Mrs. Gregory. That girl was doing a lot of thinking about what Joan and I told her. She's got the idea that maybe these Euclideans aren't so hot after all.
Yes, I'm inclined to agree with Jerry about that, Joan. Out of all the people on this island, it's only reasonable to suppose that some of them aren't any too happy.
Yes, Tex, I think Jerry is quite possibly right. Though we should be very careful about taking this girl into our confidence.
Well, she told me she didn't want to know anything about our plans. I guess she was afraid of what G-47 might do to her to make her tell if he guessed she knew anything.
That is reasonable, Jerry. G-47 would find some terrible way to make her disclose your plans if he found that she knew them.
Well, never mind about that now. Tell us just what happened here on the yacht. You know old G-47's going to come busting over here any minute and ask a lot of questions. And, oh, well, we'd all better give the same answers.
For one thing, we are absolutely sure that G-47 doesn't know the pigeon arrived with the message from Johnson.
And we've got the pigeon hidden in the canvas locker so he won't notice it's aboard.
That is fine, Captain. If you are sure G-47 does not suspect you received a message...
I know he doesn't, or he would have tried to find out what it was or take it away from me long before this.
I'll say he would.
And Tex has destroyed the message, so we're safe on that count.
Just what did the message say?
That Johnson was transferring to another boat which he had hailed and was going to get to Los Angeles as quick as he could and get my formula ready to come back here and destroy this island and rescue it.
But, Captain, how could the island be destroyed without destroying us also?
Tex will explain all that to you when we have time, dear.
How about that formula G-47's got now? The one he took away from McLeod when he thought Mac was Johnson. What's that?
It's a formula that will make something which will keep old G-47 busy for a long time when he finishes it.
I am confused about all these formulas and messages, Captain. Will you explain it for me?
Yeah, me too. Joan and I were in the sub while all this was going on. Guess we missed plenty.
Well, you see, the message we sent with the pigeon to Johnson, the message he finally received, contained the number of a safety deposit box in Los Angeles, with instructions and authority to have it opened, and Texas formula taken out.
Then Johnson will have that compounded, return to the island here, and rescue us by using the formula to dissolve the island. Clear?
Yes, Captain.
We're with you so far.
The message the pigeon brought to us from Johnson told us about Johnson changing to another boat which he hailed, and said McLeod would keep on coming to us. And when the boat was captured, we were to introduce McLeod as Johnson.
I got that much of it all right. But how about the formula G-47 took away from Johnson? I mean McLeod. Where did that come from?
Why, Johnson wrote it out and gave it to McLeod, knowing it would be taken from him. And he printed it instead of writing, so there would be no question of my handwriting.
Then G-47 actually believes the formula he's now working on, the one he took from McLeod, is your universal solvent.
No doubt of it, Joe.
Yes, dear. G-47 is thoroughly deceived on that point.
But when they make this formula up in their laboratory, and it isn't a solvent, the trouble will start all over again.
Yeah, the trouble starts all over again. But this time, I think it'll be more trouble for G-47 than it is for us.
What do you mean, Captain?
Well, the formula they have now will really make something. And I hope there's a whole bunch of these Euclidean scientists working on it when they get it finished.
There will be. I heard G-47 order every scientist on the island into the central laboratory to work on this formula.
Then there's a chance of your desperate plan succeeding, isn't there, Tex?
The more of these Euclideans there are in that laboratory, the better our chances are.
What chances, Captain? What do you expect will be the result of the compounding of the formula?
That laboratory will immediately be filled with a gas which will put every living thing in the room to sleep for hours.
Gee, won't they have time to do anything about it?
Not a chance, Jerry. When the last ingredient is added to that formula and the resulting liquid raised to a certain temperature, the gas will form with the speed of an explosion. Combustion is practically instantaneous, and enough gas will be blown around the room in less than a second to put 1,000 men to sleep.
But, Captain, they will only be asleep. The gas will not permanently harm them. Is that not so?
Right, Joan.
Then when they wake up, terrible things will happen to all of us.
I've been afraid of that too, Joan. But Tex says those men will sleep long enough to give us a chance to take command of the island. and they'll wake up our prisoners.
Golly, Whiskers, that's sure something.
Oh, that is wonderful, Mother. But are you sure it will work, Captain Bradford?
There's no doubt of it, and we'll have time to do some planning before that happens, because they'll discover that they haven't one of the ingredients, and they'll have to come to me for it.
So you see, we've really got a chance against these men at last, and we may need to take advantage of it if G-47 gets too desperate before Johnson can return to our rescue.
That's all swell, but one thing worries me plenty, and I don't see how you're going to do anything about it.
What is that, Jerry?
Suppose Johnson sends a radio message to us. That'll give away everything.
Yes, I've thought of that. There's not much danger of it happening. But of course, Johnson will estimate the time it should take us to get control of the radio on the island. And if he should try to reach us before that has happened, well, it wouldn't be so good.
I hardly think he'll do that. Johnson knows the value of keeping his actual whereabouts a secret.
On the other hand, Mother, Johnson will want to keep well advised of your progress here, as it will be some days before he can reach Los Angeles and return.
Yeah, that's another thing I can't figure out.
What's that, Jerry?
How all this has been going on. 3 radio sets filling the air with messages, and yet we don't hear a word from anybody in the outside world.
Well, that has also occurred to me, Captain Tex. It seems strange that no one except Johnson has made any attempt to come to our rescue or contact us.
That is something Tex and I will explain to you and Jerry when the time is right, my dear. It's enough for you to know now that every move we have made here, every word that has passed through the air between this island and Johnson, is known in every civilized country in the world.
But how can it be kept quiet? I should think the newspapers and the radio news broadcasts would be full of it. Gee, it's the biggest news in the world right now, and I never heard of being able to keep anything like this quiet.
Well, someday you'll understand it all, kid. But for the present, it's enough for you to know, as Pat started to tell you, that we happen to have influence enough to keep this quiet until we want the world to act on it. Remember that it would mean certain victory for the Euclideans to attempt to bring in a rescue party now.
I can understand that, Captain. You would sacrifice thousands of lives and billions of dollars in any attempt to take this island by force, while by waiting, you may take it through strategy.
Right, Joan, dear. You and Jerry are fine, understanding aides, and you've been a great help to us.
I think, Mother, Jerry has been more of a help than you know.
In what way, dear?
Jerry talked so much about your world to the commander of the submarine that she gave us many privileges. And if what Jerry says is true as to her being willing to help us, then we have Jerry to thank for it.
Nice work, Jerry. What did you tell her?
Oh, I didn't tell her so much. It was just that she kind of took a liking to me. Huh. I guess she knew I never saw a fellow like me before. Then when she got kind of stuck on me, it was easy to get her on my side.
At least, Jerry, you have no doubt about your own ability with the ladies.
How old is this woman, submarine commander, Joan?
She's very old, and Jerry is foolish in thinking she was attracted to him. The commander is 22 years old.
Poor old lady.
I hardly see how she gets around at that age.
Oh, you know what Joan means. She's just jealous, that's all.
Why, Jerry Hall, if your monumental conceit were worthy of the slightest consideration, it would only be to point out the utterly ridiculous impression created by your exaggerated ego.
She means I like me
yes,
too much.
Yes, I gathered that was the general import of the remark.
Never mind, Jerry. It's sometimes better to think well of yourself than to be too modest. After all, the world takes us at our own estimation.
However, it would be well to remember that the estimation must be lived up to.
Okay, forget it. I'm sorry, Joan. I didn't mean to start a battle over it. The important thing is that the girl is on our side, and I'm sure of it, because she knew enough to wreck our plans if she'd have gone to G-47 with it.
Just exactly what did she know, Jerry?
Something about those last messages not coming from Johnson's boat, wasn't it?
Yeah, and why I'm kind of worried about is, well, it's because G-47 should have noticed it the same as the commander did.
The only reason the direction of Johnson's radio beam did not attract the attention of G-47... was because he was giving all his attention to the prism reflectors, observing the progress of the submarine.
But won't the variations of that radio beam be recorded so that he'll stumble onto it later?
Oh, they are recorded, of course. But in the excitement of getting Captain Bradford's formula from Johnson, or thinking he had, G-47 must have forgotten to read the recording device.
Then Johnson's secret is safe only until G-47 decides to take a look at the records in that device.
I'm afraid that's it. But maybe he'll forget it altogether.
How often are the plates or rolls or whatever the record is traced on, how often are they replaced, Joe?
Every 24 hours, a new roll of sensitized metal is inserted in the recording devices. Then the old rolls are safely stored away.
Looks like we've got a chance if G-47 doesn't look at that roll.
How did the submarine commander discover that Johnson's messages were not coming from his boat?
Well, she's got one of those directional beam recorders on the sub, and she watched it like a hawk.
Oh.
I guess she knew from the first message that something was funny about it.
Also, she would have noticed the loss of strength in the beam as Johnson was getting farther and farther away when he was supposedly talking from the very boat we were towing.
Well, if that girl commander knew all that and still kept quiet about it, Jerry's right. She's on our side, no doubt about it.
Is there anything we can do now, Tex? I mean, can we further our plans in any way?
I should think the best thing would be to just sit tight and act sorry for ourselves.
An excellent idea, Jerry. If we act as if we had any plans, G-47 would soon sense that our position was not as hopeless as we pretend it is.
Quiet. I've got a good view of the pier through this porthole. G-47 is coming, and he's in a hurry.
I'm afraid that'll mean bad news.
Don't give up too easy, Mrs. Gregory.
I think we should say nothing more.
Right, Joan. Just sit still and look hopeless. Come in.
Oh, Tex, it's G-47.
Precisely. You will come with me to the other boat at once, Captain Bradford. I need some of your materials to complete the formula.
Don't give them to him, Tex.
No use being foolish, Jerry. I'll come, G-47.
At least, Captain Bradford, you have intelligence enough to realize that your position is quite hopeless.
You win, G-47. Come on, let's get it over with.
Oh, Jerry, I'm afraid our last hope is gone. Things are working out just as Tex said they would.
And when G-47 gets those materials, he can finish the formula Captain Bradford gave him.
Yeah, Tex wants him to finish it, and we'll all be on our toes when it happens. Then we'll show him how to run this island for a while.